and issuing the fact that churches anywhere. Now, I realize different ones has different situations. There's not a, in all this virus situation, there's not a one size fits all. I'm thankful to God for Pulaski County. We've not had too many issues with it, and we've not had to deal with it. Now, Kelly's got several places up in New York, and man, they were just beaten down for a while. And his employees would come in, get contaminated, he'd have to take them off the street, and everybody who they talked to and touched, and it was a job. And if you saw some of the scenes up there in the emergency rooms and so forth, and people piled upon each other and just trying to starve for a breath, it would change your mind. So we know it's not a one-size-fit-all. But I'm glad that he came out and said, if churches feels it's time for them to open, that these governments that sometimes runs a wild can't keep you from opening. And I'm thankful for that. Open Bibles, if you would, to John chapter number 8. And let's not forget what the day represents. It's to remember those who gave their life to protect the freedoms of this country. This morning, I want to preach upon the thought of being free. I'm glad to know I'm free. Now, I've been in other countries where freedom was not allowed. I've been places where they've checked me and they've searched me and they've made me show credentials and asked me all kinds of questions of why I was there. And you felt intimidated because they had guns and you had no resource other than just to be at their beck and will, whatever they were asking you to do. And it's a bad feeling. I'm glad to know, and many of you and many of our children have never known what that's like, and they've lived in a country that's been free. And so this morning, I especially want the young people to listen to me this morning as we go into this message. And I want to preach upon the thought of being free. John chapter number 8, beginning in verse 31. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus, those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So first of all, note there's one thing here that the Bible says will make you free. The truth. The truth shall make you free. Sanctify them, John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. The truth shall set you free. Also, verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Not only does the truth make you free, the Son makes you free. And we'll come back to that. Also, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, let's look at this just a moment. Jesus is speaking to a group of people, and they think that they are free. But he informs them that they're not free. They think because they are sons of Abraham, it automatically gives them religious freedom. But he here defines the difference between being a son and being a servant or being a slave and being in bondage. And so Jesus informed them that they were slaves and servants to sin. They were not free at all. Now, many people think that they're free when they're not free. We talk about being in America and being free, but there's a whole lot of people living in America that's not free. Some of them are bound by different issues of life. Thank God we no longer have slavery in America where people are not bound that way. But we have people enslaved to alcohol. We have people enslaved to drugs. We see sometimes visible effects when we've seen people, their lives just destroyed. I don't have to ask anybody. Mark there worked as paramedic. We both seen, we pick people up within a rock throw here. People that would just sit and they catch little snakes and spiders walking up the wall. They'd see imaginary things. They would sit and just stink and be laying in their own feces and laying in their own urine and stuff for days and days and days, and their own vomitus, because they were enslaved to alcohol. But some people are enslaved by things that's not so easy to see. Fear, depression. Some people biased and racist. Some people by bitterness and depression and different things along those lines. Some people's enslaved by greed. And so here we need to understand that it's good to be able to know what it means to be free. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But an example of someone who was free, but yet they were enslaved. You go back in history, Alexander the Great, a young man, 30-some years old, conquered the whole world at that time. And he was enslaved to depression and alcoholism, and he committed suicide because even though he was free and the ruler of the whole world, he was enslaved to sins within his life. Sometimes people can be imprisoned and yet be free. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, sitting in prison at midnight, singing praises unto the Lord. Free as they wanted to be. And later on, the Lord freed them up. Jesus uses the word free to be set at liberty. It's got the idea of setting someone who has been in bondage, in slavery, free, to be able to go and enjoy the liberty of making their own decisions, making their own choices, and doing the things that need to be. Now, freedom is a commodity that most everyone seeks after. Now, if you think about it, when you don't have it, look at some of the extents that people will go to try to be free. But the sad part about it is, those of us who have it, sometimes we forget how valuable our freedom is, and we take those things for granted. We're very blessed in America. The Declaration of Independence has a phrase within it: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the promise of living in this country, the ability to do that. It calls those things unalienable rights, given to us by our Creator, and also the government was created to ensure that we in America continue to have those rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, freedom, even though it sounds good, rarely is free. Almost always, there's been some patriots that's given their life or given limb, a body, and even sometimes their mind to keep us free. That's what today celebrates. People that has given themselves to make sure that we're free. So first of all, I want to say I am so thankful to those people who have died and those people who have been harmed, protecting us and ensuring that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in our country. And by the way, just a word of recommendation, don't burn the flag in my presence. I probably wouldn't be a very good happy camper to have to endure that. If you don't like this flag, go somewhere else and try to live under another flag and see how well that suits you. Amen? Now, we have to understand America's freedom has come with a high cost. And so we sometimes, as I said, we take it for granted. Just those people who signed the Declaration of Independence I referred to. Looking back at those, five that signed it was captured, tortured, and killed. 12 had their homes ravaged and burnt to the ground. 2 of them lost their sons during the Revolutionary War. 2 of them had their sons captured in a Revolutionary War. 5 others was harmed and eventually died because of repercussions from the Revolutionary War. Now, these were not crazy men itching for a fight. These were men that was secure in their businesses. 24 of them was lawyers. 11 of them was merchants. 9 of them was farmers or plantation owners. These were people that was well educated, quiet men, secure, but they loved liberty more than they loved life themselves. And so what they did was they signed the Declaration of Independence to help secure for us a future country that would give us the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you know what? When they signed that, they knew that signing that would be their death warrant if they were caught. And therefore, in that declaration, they pledged their life, their fortunes, and their honors. Each of them pledged that in the Declaration of Independence. You young people need to, even though this time in which we're living, this progressive movement, tries to hide from you the history of this nation and the birth of this nation, you need to go back and study that for yourself. And you need to understand. Now, you look back, you see many people having desire for freedom. Israel when they was in Egypt. Israel when they was in Babylon. You look back at the pilgrims coming to America, had the desire for freedom. You look back at the slaves and the Underground Railroad during the times of Civil War, and they had desire for freedom. And you go on and on and on. And you know, you look at people coming from the Cuba on those boats and rafts and unsafe and trying to go across the waters and get to Florida. I don't blame those people. They want freedom. And you look at those people trying to come from Mexico and come into America. I don't blame those people. They want freedom. However, I do believe that you build a wall and they come in a legal way. They don't come in illegal way. But still yet, I don't blame them for wanting freedom. If I lived where they lived, I would want freedom too. And I don't blame them for wanting freedom. And people risk their life, their family, just for the sake of liberty and freedom. Now, several years ago, a communist China tried to look and figure out why did America have such an influence and why was America able to prosper like she was? And you know what their conclusion was? Their conclusion was this: a long-standing faith among the people of America. Think about that. Now, let me say this on today. We're red, white, and blue. I make no apologies. I'm red-blooded, wave-flagging America. I love my country. I also am loyal to my country. This is the land of my birth. I was blessed to be born here. It has many imperfections, but yet I'm still obligated to support it when I can. And you know one main way I support it? Listen, I vote. I vote. Every time I vote. I find out about information. I find out about issue. I don't vote to whoever's going to put most money in my pocket. I vote for whoever's best for my country. And that's the way I weigh my decisions out. Now, during this time of this COVID-19 virus, we've been seeing firsthand the value of words of freedom that we find in our independent Declaration of Independence. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Freedom to assemble. Hey, it was taken away for a little bit. Still in some places it's taken away. Freedom to attend a house of worship of our choosing or not to attend. Somebody said, well, I don't believe, I'm not going to come and I'm not going to attend church. That's your business. But there's other people that wants to attend. Some people believe that attending church is as essential as abortion clinics. And I appreciate the president pointing that out. And liquor stores. I believe that the church is just as important or more essential than that. Amen? So therefore, what we need to do, we have a freedom to choose our own job. And choose schools and our own spouses. We don't have those things forced upon us. Americans, we can assemble here today because we're Americans. We can believe in any God or no God because we're Americans. We can speak our mind. We can carry our Bibles. We can pray in public when we want to. And it's sad to be American and not be free. The biggest battle we have right now in America is for in the soul of this nation and for the soul of the nation. We have such an erosion of our society. No longer do we have sensible choices in our politics. Now, some people's not going to like where I'm going to go here in a minute. Used to, you had some sensible choices. You could vote a couple different parties. The sensible choices have been left. This progressive movement has come in. No longer is there sensible choices. Progressive party is one of the most dangerous things to the freedom and liberties of this nation that we've ever had. We're not fighting enemies on the outside now. We're fighting enemies inside of our government that's wanting to destroy our government and take away the freedoms and liberties that we have. We've seen that play out during this virus. Some got a little taste of power and some's got drunk on it and can't release it and can't let it go. And we see it. We're where we are today. Listen, we are where we are today in America because of what we tolerated yesterday. You understand? When we've tolerated a lot of stuff yesterday, it's come home to roost now, and we're living with it because of what we've done. There's people that's in our governments that's not fit. They should be in prisons, not in our government, sitting on seats making decisions for us. They're criminals in their own right, and it's a shame, disgrace that we've got what we've got. Now, we've got good people in our government. Don't get me wrong. And I thank God for the policies that that President Trump has been enforcing. And I thank God for that. But I want you to understand that this progressive movement would have us believe that our forefathers came here trying to keep us from free from God, the Bible, and Christianity. But that's not why they come here at all. They come here to give us liberty for God, the Bible, and Christianity. But not to hear them tell it. They try to turn it all around. Why do we have Memorial Day? That we don't forget the cost of what we paid to have freedom. We remember those who gave their lives and those who have kept and been willing to go out, and we have several people here. And all you veterans, I appreciate you this morning that you were willing to go and fight and defend our country. And we celebrate this day in remembrance of that. Why do we meet on the first day of the week? We do it in remembrance of Jesus that died for our sins, and he rose on the first day of the week. And we come together on the first day of the week remembering the price that was paid for our spiritual freedom that we had. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? We do it in remembrance of him and his broken body and his shed blood. And we do it because of that. And that's why we celebrate those things in our life. Now, think about this. There's four or five dangers I want you to mark down. First, there's a danger of losing all sense of remembrance. And this progressive party is trying to get us to lose sense of remembrance of where we came from as a nation and what we did to become a nation like we've become. We honored God. We did it in our mottos. We did it in monuments. We put it on our currency. In God we trust. We put it also in our pledges. One nation under God. We were not ashamed of God. We did not run from God. We credited God for the blessings of this nation. We knew where it came from. God blessed America. And therefore, when times of trouble, we turned to him and we cried out to him for help during times of trouble. But this nation would have you forget. Woodrow Wilson said this, President Woodrow Wilson, a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it's trying to do. And the reason why most people don't know what America is, they don't know what it was yesterday and the price that was paid to get us where we are. The progressive movement that we're battling with today is intentionally changing history. And they're trying to erase all the heroes and their forefathers and founding fathers that we had in the past. As a matter of fact, they're trying to criminalize and they're trying to demonize all of our forefathers. Tearing down their monuments. And most of the people tearing down their monuments not fit. Not fit to even stand in their place. Were they perfect people? No, but are we perfect people? No. That's why Jesus came, to make us free from our sin. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. But what I want you to understand is, when America was founded, why is it so great? We look at the north of us, Canada. It was founded by a bunch of French explorers. They came looking for gold. To the south of us in Mexico, it was founded by a bunch of Spanish explorers come looking for gold. America, the men and women that came to America, came looking for God and the free exercise of God and the fact that they would be able to worship God in spirit, in freedom, and in truth without the invasion of the government telling them when they can meet, how they meet, what they do, when they do it, and therefore who they had to be a denomination under, as the Church of England was doing. And they refused to have the government license us to preach and tell us what we can preach, when we can preach, and how we can preach. Thank God this country was founded. I wonder what our forefathers would think of the progressive movement. Governments that's banning Ten Commandments, nativity scenes, and crosses. When they put them up everywhere, when they were founding this great nation. And now we have people moving in, strangers coming into this country, and then they want to change the whole history of the country. Not to be. The progressives that took prayer and Bibles out of school. When our schools in this country that made this country such a great nation, you look at people like John Adams that knew seven languages at the age of 14. He could speak seven languages fluently and the wisdom that they had. And you know where they got those things? In church schools and home schools. And the schools, and even up to 1960, you go back and get the literatures in our public schools. And you know what? They had references to the Bible all through those. How do I know? I've got the textbooks from them. And then all of a sudden some progressives come along in late 60s and they declared that it was going to do irreparable damage to our kids to have prayer and Bible associated with them. Even in Pulaski County, when they took the Ten Commandments out of our schools, when they auctioned them off, the little certificates that they had hanging on the school walls, the state come in and made them flip them upside down where nobody could read them when they walked by them. How foolish was that? You know what our forefathers would think of somebody like that? How about our forefathers? What would they think of having, you know, here they said that everyone born in America has the right to live, has the right to be protected and have life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. What would they think about 60 million of the most innocent Americans that we have taken out of the womb and murdered because of the progressives? How wicked can the progressives get? Partial birth abortion. You know what that was? Letting the head of a perfectly healthy baby be delivered out of the birth canal, stopping the head so the whole body don't come out, sticking a pair of scissors in the back of the neck and sucking its brains out and killing that baby on the spot. You can talk about what it is and when does life begin. Listen, you can't debate that. It begins at conception when God gives a life. And they'll find out one day when they stand before God and have to give an account of those lives that they've taken. But I'm going to tell you something. This progressive movement of taking 60 million innocent babies, they don't have a choice. They don't have anybody fighting for them. Who should be fighting for them? We should. Somebody wants to support abortion, don't you ever give them a vote. Protect those who can't protect themselves. Gay marriage. What would our forefathers think of that? You know who gave that to us? Our last president, what's his legacy? Gay marriage. Sanctuary cities we're battling with now. Let illegals come. They're here illegally, but we're going to protect them here. Nobody can touch them. They go in jail, we're not going to let you know. We're not going to let you tell them. We're going to put them back out to the people. How ridiculous. What can I do about it, preacher? Vote. Vote. He said, I believe I'll turn it off. In America, you have the right to turn this knob off. Danger not only of remembering, danger of losing all sense of reality. All nations are accountable to God. people's acting like that God has to depend upon us. People's acting like because God's allowed America to intervene on all world wars and help win those wars. Do you understand how God has used America? We are a superpower. We're able to help all people around. But I'm going to tell you, if these progressives had their way, they'd destroy this nation and give it away and sell it away and put us in prison to all these other places. Why is it that progressives get so offended when somebody said, let's make America great again? Why is it that progressives get so offended and they always side on the side of China, Russia, Iran, our enemies? Why is that? Why is it that progressives, the seven top nations that they want to financially support and give the most money to, are enemies and the greatest enemies of this nation? Why is that? How foolish is it for a nation to take and build up its enemy's army and weapons, and to one day we're going to have to fight against and we're going to have to shed innocent blood to go back against those people? The pearls of freedom are lies. Not truth, lies. Not only lies, but ignorance. Somebody said, I didn't know that. Listen, you have the means. You have the means right here of finding anything out that you want to dig into. You can't claim ignorance anymore. You kids know how to surf on this thing. You can find out a little bit about the history. Search it out. Arrogance. Pride is what brought Sodom down. We can't have arrogance in our nation. What do you mean by arrogance? When we think we've done it ourselves, and we don't depend upon God and recognize that everything that we've done, because God is so good. The little girl sung it right. Another enemy is complacency. Getting where we're complacent. We lose all sense of reality of what's actually happening in a nation. Then we, after we lose remembrance and reality, we lose restraints. People begins to do things that's completely off the wall. Now you say, preacher, I don't like this. Somebody's got to say it. It's got to be preached. And if it's not going to be preached from our pulpits, where are we going to preach it from? I can't believe anybody saved can get behind this progressive movement and support it in any form and fashion. You say, well, my granddad was always, your granddad wouldn't have supported it if there's anything to him. Things have changed a lot since your granddad voted. The danger of losing restraints, no limits on what they won't do. Speech, they only want to protect speech, their speech. Anybody else's speech, they want to attack. Physically, verbally, or any other way. They want to shut all voices out of colleges, the higher education. They don't want any conservative voices. All these things, I don't know what they are. I don't have them, but some of you all know. These Twitters and all these other, you know who they come against? Conservative voices. Not only that, we find they want to give our country away. No idea how they're going to pay for everything. They just give it away. Oh, let's give $4 or $5 trillion. Some of them wants to tax people up to 90%. Take that back to the forefathers, let them put it in their pipe and smoke that. They throw you and everything else that you had over the side of a ship. You come tell them they're going to tax you for 90%. Government, they lose all restraints. You see some of them right now in this nation, they've gotten drunk on their power. Good example is up in Michigan. She's gotten drunk on her power. And she just can't. She'll let prisoners out. Down in Texas the other day, these progressives, they'll let the prisoners back out on the street because they're afraid they'll get attacked by this virus. They use that for excuse to open up the jails and empty them out. But yet some salon owner that wants to just cut hair and make a living, they're going to throw her in prison. They get drunk on their own power. They lose restraint. The press has lost restraint. Most of the media is nothing but propaganda for the progressives. You can't believe a word they say. They've got alternative motives in everything they do. And when we lose restraint, then we lose respect. That's why people don't respect America anymore. It burns me up to see people not respecting. Most of the progressives won't even call President Trump president. Listen, I guarantee you they don't dislike him anymore than I dislike President Obama. But I still call him President Obama because he was my president, whether I liked it or not. I didn't vote for him, but he was my president. I still prayed for him. But I was against about every policy they had. Three things makes us spiritual free. Let me get back to text. I haven't preached much from text. Three things. Scripture makes us free. What scripture? Scripture means that God's word is truth and his is truth. Anything else that's measured that we won't see if it's truth, it has to be measured according to the word of God. Only the word of God can make you free. Anything else, that God be truth and all men liars. You say, well, we're looking at science. Science are liars if they don't abide by the word of God. Well, we're looking at higher education. Higher education is lies if we don't abide by the word of God. By the way, Nazism, communism, socialism that these progressives push are built upon foundation of lies. They're built pretending that they're going to set you free and they put you in bondage. And they're just the opposite of what truth is. Somebody said, well, I can't believe that Christian people have supported President Trump. Listen, it's not him as much that we're supporting as his policies that we're supporting, because the other choice we have is a bunch of progressives that's destroying our nation, and we want freedom for our children. If the Lord doesn't come back, we want them to live in a free country like we've had the enjoyment of living in a free country. And what we tolerate today will become their reality tomorrow. And so therefore we have to stop. And we have to understand, progressives are the enemies of truth. They are propagandas of lies. Second of all, the Son makes you free. You say, well, what can Jesus free me of? Nicodemus, religious issues. Zacchaeus, greed. The woman at the well, moral issues. The man out of his mind at the tomb. Any problems you have, Jesus can set you free of it. But his reason for coming was to set you free of your sin. And we have to abide by the word. And the word says that we have all sinned and come short of glory of God. Therefore, we all are sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We must look to him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. You want to be free from your sins? There's only one person. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, his only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. You say, what is he free us of? I'll close right here. He frees us from the wrath of God. When I die, I'm not going to have to face the wrath of God. He frees me from condemnation. I'm no longer condemned because I have believed in his Son. He frees me from death and hell. I don't have to worry about hell. He frees me from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6. He frees me from the power of Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5. Only Jesus can set us free. Listen, economic, social, moral, all these issues are just secondary to the problem of America. The problem of America is a spiritual problem, and only Jesus can fix that spiritual problem. And if you find Jesus, he sets you free. And listen, when he sets you free, you don't have to fear living. You don't have to fear dying. And you don't have to fear what is beyond this life. Listen, I love America.
But my greatest ambition is to my home that Jesus has gone to prepare. This whole earth's going to pass away with America with it. But heaven is going to be forever. Amen. And I thank God that Jesus has made me free to be able to go to heaven because of what he paid. And by the way, what our forefathers paid for our political freedom does not even compare what Jesus paid for our spiritual freedom. Do you have Christ today? If God's dealing your heart to come and be saved, I wouldn't live another day in the lost condition, knowing what the world is like. I'd want to be saved. Jesus came that he'd make you free. Only the Son can make you free, but you've got to come to him. Would you come this morning? As God may be dealing with you this morning, would you just let him have his way? As we stand, and as Vicky comes.